Okay, well, anyways, I am so honored to be able to talk with you about prayer in children's ministry. This is such an important topic, and I certainly don't have all the answers, but God has taught me a lot as I've been working with the kids here at Peace. So I would love to share some of that with you and a little bit about what we do with the kids. And then I would also love to hear from you and what you do at your churches, how you invest in your kids through prayer. So be thinking about what you might share afterwards. We'll have a Q&A, and that's when I'd love to hear from you. But as we begin, I want us to ask this question. Why is prayer important specifically in children's ministry? Well, I think we have to start with the goal of kids' ministry. And the main goal that we all share is that we want to see the kids in our churches come to know Jesus Christ early in life. We want to see God save them and give them a relationship with himself, one that will carry them through their entire lives. So that no matter what life holds, if it has its share of success or failure, they are grounded. They are rooted in him, and so they will not be shaken. So that is the right goal for us to have, and it's also a big goal. But I think it becomes an even more urgent goal when we take into consideration some of the recent research about our future generations. So Barna recently did a report on Gen Z. And if you're not familiar with that terminology, that is the generation after my own generation, the millennials. And they stated this: the percentage of Gen Z that identifies as atheist is double that of the U.S. adult population. So these are the teenagers of today, and they're turning away from God at a rapid pace. Now, Barna went on to say that the main reason that so many identified as atheist is that they can't seem to reconcile the existence of a world with evil in it with the existence of a good God. Now, you might be wondering why I'm reading you research about teenagers when this is a talk about children's ministry. But here's the thing. Many of the kids in our ministries are just a few years or even months away from being teenagers themselves. And this is really the training ground for their teenage faith and their adult faith. This season is so important. One of the first things Pastor James encouraged me to do when they brought me into this role was to call Brooklyn Tabernacle to find out how they did prayer with their kids. And I learned so much from that conversation. But one thing that Suze Dallencourt, one of their directors, said really stuck with me. And I'm paraphrasing, but she said, this season, while the kids are still in children's ministry, this is when they begin to grapple with the big questions. Questions like, who am I? Is God real? Is he relevant? And does what I've been taught line up with what I've experienced of life myself? She went on to say that this is either where they get grounded in the Lord or where they emotionally walk away from him. Because once they're teenagers, they can physically walk away from him. Our time with these kids is so short, and it's urgent, the goal that God has given us, to be a part of what he's doing in these kids' lives. But the good news is that our time with these kids is also full of potential. In another Barna study, they reported that nearly half of all Americans who accept Jesus as their Savior do so before reaching the age of 13. And they also said that people who become Christian before their teen years are more likely than those who are converted when older to remain absolutely committed to Christianity. So this is really good news. You know, we have the right goal, and according to the research, we have a receptive audience. You know, to put it in biblical terms, the harvest is plentiful. But that is not enough. It's not enough because we can't do this on our own. And the kids, they won't get it on their own. You know, if we're doing ministry, kids' ministry, in our own strength, it's not going to be effective. And without the Holy Spirit drawing the hearts of these children, nothing we do or say is going to penetrate or make any difference eternally at all. We need God to do this. I love John 15:5, where Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And I have to ask myself if I really believe that. That anything I do in children's ministry, if I'm doing it in my own strength, even if it results in the kids knowing the answers I want them to know, even if I think I'm doing it well, if I'm doing those things in my own strength, it's nothing. It's a big zero. And I'm so convicted because if I really believed this, I can tell you, I would be praying so much more. Because the kids in all of our churches, they need more than our best efforts. And they need to leave church with more than just a head full of answers. They need God. They need God himself to step down into their lives, into their everyday, so that they can see him and respond in worship. They need to hear him speak through his word and see him answer prayers, just like we do. They need to experience God. And ultimately, when they come to church, they don't need to meet with us. They need to meet with God. So that means that above our calling to teach and above our calling to plan events and choose curricula, our number one calling in children's ministry is to pray about everything. And to create this culture of prayer, the same culture we want to see in the church at large, we want that to be just as palpable in our kids' ministry. We want to pray about everything so that the kids will catch on, and they'll go home, and they'll pray about everything, and then their parents maybe will catch on. Before you know it, we want to see entire family units grounded and based in prayer. So, with all of that in mind, how do we do this? You know, practically, how do we start to create this culture of prayer in our kids' ministries? Well, like I said, I am definitely not an expert, but I pulled together 5 points that maybe we can start with. This is just based on what we do here at Peace and based on what I've learned along the way. So, how do we create a culture of prayer in children's ministry? Point one, be a person of prayer yourself. One of my favorite images from Scripture is Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, seeking him, listening to him. And meanwhile, Martha is running all around getting stuff done. And I have to confess that a lot of times my approach to children's ministry looks a lot like Martha, but that is not the children's ministry God has called us to. I truly believe that our call to children's ministry is an invitation to come and sit at the feet of Jesus, so that then we can turn and invite these precious children to join us at his feet, seeking him. Suze Dalencourt of Brooklyn Tabernacle really emphasized the importance of our personal prayer life in our conversation when she said this: prayer starts with you. In ministry, to the degree you give yourself to prayer, they will receive. It's out of the overflow of us they receive. Do you believe in the power of prayer? Is it intimate? Is it something you do or something you experience? Is it something you do during your devotion or is it ongoing throughout the day, communing with God? And this was so important for me to hear because it reminded me that in ministry, God doesn't just want my work. He wants my worship. He wants my heart too, in addition to the hearts of the kids that I serve. And you know, God's order of things is so beautiful because the more I pour out my heart to God, the more he reveals his heart to me. And that's the only way I have something that I can pour out on the kids, pour out to them, is if it comes from God. There's a quote that says, we can't take others any further than we've gone ourselves. So that means that this culture of prayer that we want to seep deep down into the lives of the kids, it has to start with us first. So be a person of prayer yourself. Point two, pray first. Make prayer the first step in everything you do. in your planning process, before you plan an event, before you do your lesson planning, literally before you do anything, pray. Even tiny things that you don't think you need to pray about. You know, when I came into this role, I had no idea how to do children's ministry. And if I'm being honest, I still have no idea. But it was so comforting to me. Yes, you will. It was so comforting to know that in addition to the support and wisdom of our church leadership, I also had the wisdom and support of Almighty God. That for every question I had, and believe me, there were so many, he had the answers. I mean, I even asked him really dumb questions that you probably would never even think to. Like, how do I word this email? How do I word this email announcement so that it's not too cheesy and not too boring? And you know what? He answered. He answered that prayer and he helped me. And, you know, I'm still asking him questions today. And I'd love to share with you some of the questions I'm asking right now. Not because they're anything special. I'm sure you're already praying these very things. But let this serve as an encouragement to keep going there, to keep doubling down and praying, just taking that minute to pause before you jump in. So here are some questions I'm asking. How can we support the spiritual growth of the kids and their families? What is the greatest felt need of the kids in this ministry? And what is their true need from your perspective, God? And then how can we best point them to you as their provider in these areas? What hard questions do we need to help them wrestle with? And how can we prepare them for current and future temptations and doubts? What types of events would meet a need in the kids' lives? And how can our scheduling best serve our families? And then, of course, we're a small church, so we're always asking, how can we serve more kids and more families in our area? And you know, that list is barely scratching the surface. But you'll notice that even in that very short list, there are different kinds of questions. There are really practical things like scheduling. And then there are deeper things about felt needs versus true needs and spiritual growth. And that's because God cares about it all. You know, nothing is too small to take to him. Even the parts of ministry that we kind of do automatically, we should pray about those too. So I've been encouraged to pray about everything. So I just pass that encouragement on to you. Point three is pray for your team. And I would start by saying, pray that God would bring the Sunday school teachers and the volunteers that he wants to be a part of your ministry. You know, it's worth remembering that God has called each of us to do specific works, and he has planned those things long before we were born. So chances are there's someone in your church whom God has called specifically to work in your ministry with your kids. So ask him. Ask him to show you who those people are, and then ask him to bring them into places of service. And he will. He will do that. And once he does that, then pray for them. You know, pray that their relationship with God would grow stronger. Pray about their personal life, because we all know that impacts everything. It impacts our spiritual life, and it impacts our ability to minister. So pray about the whole person, that God would be working in their lives. And then pray God would enable them for the work. And I think this request is very key. Pray that God would give them, and you, his love for the kids. I mean, obviously, none of us would be working in kids' ministry if we didn't like kids. But we need more than just an affinity for children. We need God's love for them. We need to see them the way God sees them, as created in his image. And quite frankly, as a soul he considered worth dying for. And I believe that if we truly are praying for more of God's love for the kids and more of his heart, then he's going to lead us deeply into point four. And that is, pray for the kids at your church. And this is something we've really been focusing on a lot here at Peace this last year. And we have a couple different ways that we do this. The first being our kids ministry prayer team. So this is a group of adults that are committed to praying for the kids daily and by name. Now, we opened this up to people that weren't just children's leaders. We opened this up to the whole church because we really want to encourage everyone to invest in the faith of the next generation. We passed around a clipboard, let people sign up if they were interested, but we do have to be careful in how we do this, I would just say. Unfortunately, it's the world that we live in. So before someone can join the prayer team, we do background check them. But you know, once that's done and they're cleared and we haven't had any issues with that, then the member is assigned a child to pray for 3 months. Now, this is an ongoing ministry, but the child that a member is assigned to pray for changes every 3 months. So if you were to join our kids ministry prayer team, you might pray for Susie, January, February, and March. April 1st, you're going to get an email in your inbox asking you to pray for Brian for the next 3 months. And, you know, we did this for a couple reasons. We set it up this way, first, because it makes it doable for busy people. I mean, there are no meetings to attend. You can pray from home. And you're not given this, like, overwhelming list of people to pray for. It's just one person, maybe two. And that's helpful. But the main reason that we did it this way is because it really encourages a heart for kids. You know, when you're just praying for one child, you can go deeper in your prayers. And you start seeing them as an individual, as a person, instead of a name or just, you know, a person on a list. So that's kind of why we set it up that way. Now, as far as what we pray for the kids, there's freedom in that. You know, when you get a name emailed to you, you also get the contact info of the parent. So that enables you to reach out, tell the parents that you're praying for them, and to ask them, you know, hey, are there any needs we can lift up for you? Now, sometimes that works really well and you get like a whole list. Other times you don't get anything. So we also wanted to provide some resources for them to help them pray. Now, the first one we give them is Pastor James' book, Prayers for Your Children. And it's great because it is a 90-day prayer guide. That's roughly 3 months. So by the end of the year, if they use this faithfully, they can at least pray for 4 children. They can pray through this entire book for 4 children, which is really, really special. In addition to that, I also send out some prayer guides from time to time. So some of these are like a month-long guide where every day there's a prayer prompt. Others have just like weekly prayer themes that I ask them to focus their prayers around. And an idea of this would be like a back to school prayer guide. So, you know, week one, I might send you an email and ask you to pray that God would give them godly friends at school. And week two, I might ask you to pray that God would give them a mind to work, you know, diligence in their academics. And week three, I might ask you to pray that, you know, God would be using school to reveal their talents, their God-given skills, so they can use those for his kingdom. So, you know, so on and so forth, but you get the idea, just something to guide their prayers. They don't have to pray this way, but it gives them an idea if they go blank. But these are some resources we give them, but aside from obviously using scripture, which is the number one resource, I'd say the next best resource we can give someone when they're praying for someone else is a relationship with them. So we want to encourage the prayer members, prayer team members, to get to know the kids. So when we have events, they're invited to those. Like we have a summer cookout and they get to come to that and it's great. They get to know them over like hot dogs and, you know, ping pong. And it's great. There's no pressure. You don't have to have a super in-depth conversation, but it gives them a chance to connect, to put a face with the name, and to say, hey, I'm praying for you. In fact, I have to tell you this. A few months ago, we had an event, and I was in the Sunday school room with some of the kids, and Bob Dodson came in, and he pulled one of the boys aside, and he said, hey, I need to talk to you for a minute. And of course, all the other kids in the room were like, oh, you're in trouble now. And he kind of turned ashen and like slunk out of the room. But when he returned and his sister was like, what did you get in trouble for? He was like, I'm not in trouble. Bob just wanted to tell me he's going to be praying for me for the next 3 months. And he had this big grin on his face. And all the other kids were kind of jealous. Not that that's what we want to encourage, but I think it kind of made them value prayer. It made them want to be prayed for themselves, which is really, really neat. So thank you, Bob, for doing that. It was really cool. But all of our prayer members have a chance to do that, to say, hey, I'm praying for you, and to make a difference in a child's life. So that's a little overview of our prayer team. Outside of that, we also pray for the kids at the prayer meetings, like the one you saw last night. And those are always so great. And it's really special when the parents get to come, because then they get to hear us praying for their kids and for their families. And that, I think there's nothing like that. So those are just some of the ways that we pray for the kids. But last point is 5, and that is encourage the kids to pray themselves. Now, the first way to do this, and it's pretty self-explanatory, is literally to pray as much as possible with the kids at church. You know, pray before snacks, pray in Sunday school, pray in children's church, just pray as much as possible. And it's going to be awkward at first. They're going to probably be kind of annoyed with you, but it's okay. They'll get used to it. Just those along-the-way prayers are really nice. But we also have a kids' prayer time that Pastor James does with the kids. And he, I think, alluded to that yesterday. During worship, he gathers all the kids together over here at this cross, and he asks them, what do you want to pray about? What do you want to praise God for? And sometimes they write their requests down and pin them to the cross. But it is always so great, because you can learn so much from the kids. I mean, they thank God for things I don't even notice, like things in nature. And they're also not afraid to ask God for what they want. Like, I'm pretty sure one boy asked for an Xbox for Christmas. Not sure if he got it, but he's not afraid to ask, and that's a good thing. So that's always something that is great on a Sunday morning. So I'd encourage you to do something like that if you're not already doing it. We also, in addition to praying with them, we want to teach them what the Bible says about prayer. This summer, we're going to be doing some of that. We're going to memorize scripture verses with the kids. It's actually going to be a competition, adults versus kids, who can memorize the most verses about prayer. And it's going to be really fun. It's going to be probably harder for us than them. But so that's something we're going to do. Not sure what the verses will be yet, but I know we're going to focus on the relationship aspect of prayer, that prayer is just talking to God. I mean, it's holy, but it's simple. You know, it's not a ritual. It is relational. So that's kind of what we're going to be teaching them this summer about prayer as we memorize with them. And then we also want to encourage them to pray at home. But I think sometimes for kids, sometimes for me, but also for the kids, one obstacle to prayer can be not really knowing where to start. So I came up with a couple different ideas to help them jump in. And one of them is this little prayer wheel or prayer spinner. And written on the spokes are different prayer prompts, different things they can start out their prayers with. So things like, tell God what you love about him, which is kind of what we do at prayer meetings. Pray for a friend. Tell God your worries and ask for his help. Ask God who you can help. Tell God today's highs and lows. Pray for a missionary. Stuff like that. And they got to take this home, and they were encouraged to get their families together and spin the arrow, and whatever the arrow landed on, that's what their family would pray that day. And, you know, if that's the only thing that they pray that day, that's okay. That's good. They're talking to God. But hopefully, as they do this, then they'll expand their prayers. You know, they may say, God, help my friend who's sick. But then they also add on and say, help me in school or something else. And that's what we want. We want to get them into prayer. Because once they're there, it's a whole lot easier to continue. So that's one thing we've done. We also had them decorate prayer journals recently. We just got these little brown books on Amazon and, you know, let them decorate with stencils or whatever they wanted. And on the inside covers, we have different prayer prompts again, and some of them are, you know, write a note to God telling him why you love him. Others are more creative, like, you know, draw God a picture of your parents and ask him to help them this week. Or, you know, at the back we have different scriptures that they can look up, just short little scriptures that they can read and then respond to God about. So, you know, read Psalm 116, verses 1 through 2, and thank God that he bends down to listen to our prayers. And then tell him your heart. Tell him what's on your heart. So these will be up here if you want to take a look at, you know, what specific prompts we have in here. But those are just a couple ways to encourage them in prayer. I mean, sometimes we need to just repeat, 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 and that helps kids get it. Other times they need to see it in a new way. So I would just say, be creative. You know, pray first and then be creative and see what you come up with. And if you come up with something good, I want to hear about it. So let me know, because I'm sure it would bless the kids here too. But those are my 5 points. Just barely scratching the surface of how we can encourage this culture of prayer in our children's ministries. So now that you've heard from me, I would love to hear from you. Any questions you have, but also what you guys do in your churches, how you encourage the kids in prayer. So the floor is yours. Any questions?